There, Paul the Apostle is speaking to the believers. You'll see in verse 2, he speaks about like-mindedness. And that draws us even to consider the verse 5. Because I want you to see Christ's mind there. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You think of the person of Christ as the apostle develops that thought throughout these verses from verse 5 onward. You have something of the humility of the Savior. His mind was one of being humbled, for he was to leave the realms of glory behind. He was to come down to this earth. Matthew 11 and verse 28 reminds us, or 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. There was none like the lowly Jesus, no, not one. His mind was one of humility. His mind was also one of obedience to the Father's will. For he came to do the work of the Father. And that is brought out even in 1 Peter 2 in the words of verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. And that those steps are certainly steps of obedience. God desires that as people we would obey. There's no greater example than the Savior himself. His mind was one of obedience. Obedience to fulfill that will of the Father. That meant the cross. That meant going to the cross of Calvary. And there subjecting himself to the sufferings. And to the agony of that old Roman tree. And you know, the mind of Christ, ultimately, I believe, is Calvary. It was ever in Christ's mind to go to the cross. I think it's heresy for those that believe that this was an afterthought with God. Adam sinned and then we've got to go to plan B. We've got to bring in a Savior. That's nonsense. It was always in the mind of God for Calvary. You look at Revelation chapter 13. And the words of verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's known as the Lamb. And the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. In other words, it was an eternity past already done. Even though he would come in the fullness of time and he would go after 33 years approximately to that cross, yet in eternity past, before God spake this world into being, it was in the mind of Christ to go to Calvary. And when it was done, he was slain from the foundation of the world. And you know, there's great comfort, of course, when you tie that in with Ephesians 1 and verse 4, because it says, according as he had chosen us in him from the foundation of the world, we were also chosen in Christ in eternity past. Even though you and I were saved in our different life's experience, in our different days and different dates and so forth, yet God gave us to Christ in eternity past. Christ's mind. Then notice Christ's nature here. Verse 6, you'll see that it's divine. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He has two natures in the one person, the Catechism teaches us. Divinity. He was divine. In other words, he was God. John 1, verse 1. The beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was God. But there's also the other nature. And that was human. Humanity. You see it in verse 7. He made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. We come around the Lord's table today. Remember the God-man. He was God, and yet he took upon himself our nature. That one day he would go to Calvary and there die for man. There shed his blood for the sins of his people. He was man. But he was God. What a mystery. God manifest in the flesh. Hebrews 2, in the words of verse 17, reminds us, wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. A little earlier on that chapter you will read, he is not ashamed to call us brethren. Child of God, not a lovely thought this morning. Christ is your elder brother. We're in union with him. The God-man, the one who bears the marks of our redemption. Christ's nature. And then you'll see Christ's state. The twofold state here as well. Look at verse 7. It's one of humiliation. But made himself of no reputation. I don't think our minds can go to the depths of that. Every one of you and us have a reputation this morning. I trust it's a good one. Before men and before God, Christ made himself of no reputation. And took upon him in the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And if you think of a ladder there at the end of verse, or the end of verse 5, the ladder is going down, down all the time. There is his humiliation. He became a servant, the one who spake the world into being. The sovereign God, the King, the one who made the angels serve and worship, yet he made himself a servant. Became the servant of men. What humiliation is that? But not only do you see it in his service, but also in his sacrifice. Because it says he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. You think of the pain. You think of the shame. Cursed is he that hangeth on the tree. You think of the public humility. He died there as one of the malefactors. He died there as a slave. He wasn't a free man. He died there for you and me. We remember his death through the emblems on the table this morning. But you know, not only is the state one of humiliation, it doesn't stay there. Because his state is one of exaltation. The ladder now goes up. Verse 9, wherefore? On account of Christ satisfying divine justice. On account of the Savior purchasing the price of our redemption. That price of his own precious shed blood. And the work was good. Wherefore? God hath also highly exalted him. And given him a name which is above every name. This is his reward, if you like, for the work of Calvary. There is his honor in verse 9. He's given a name above every name. There is in verse 10 his power. That the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is highly exalted. He is not dead today. He's alive. Exalted at the Father's right hand. Remaining until every enemy shall be made his footstool. Do you see what it's for? To the glory of God. Father, the work of Christ on the cross was God glorifying. He finished it. He satisfied divine justice. Christ's state. And as there is in Christ today, this means of grace, we worship him. We remember his death on Calvary. I trust the Lord will bless those few thoughts to your hearts this morning for his own name's sake. One of the brethren.